day when that rain began to come, they found out Noah wasn't crazy, Noah heard from God, and they could not get in. God had the key, and they couldn't get in. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't worry about it. Have a relationship with God. Money can't buy it, can't nothing buy it. You must take time and learn God for yourself. Get a relationship with the Lord. Oh my God, it's nothing better than knowing him for yourself. What I love about God, what I love about him, he's our example. He's the example, Christ, our example. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Getting to Know Him broadcast with Pastor Elvira Brevelle of the Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. To correspond with Pastor Brevelle or to send a love offering, go to $Shalonda Nobles. That's $SHOLONDANOBLES. Be sure to tune in for the next Getting to Know Him broadcast.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatuck. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. The epistle of James. I want you to look at verse number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. And I want to talk to you for just a little while, if you will. Allow me to speak into your ears from this thought that came to me, the joy of being patient. Amen. The joy of being patient. Amen. We understand that James, the writer of this text, he is the brother of in the flesh, the brother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some say half brother due to the fact that Jesus' father was God. Amen. And James's father was Joseph. Amen. But James did not truly believe that while Jesus was walking among them for 33 and a half years, James did not truly believe that he was the Son of God. James did not truly believe that he was the Messiah that came to save the world. Amen. You know how it is. And in defense of James, you know how we grow up around people and we grow up with people and we know people. And then we don't think that God can use them at the capacity that they are being used. Amen. You know what they used to do. Amen. You know their flaws. You know their faults, their frailties. You know who they are personally. Amen. And so you can't see God using them to do what he does. Amen. And so James, after Jesus died and his resurrection, James became a disciplined learner. He became a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We sometimes people get mixed up this James and James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John. They get them mixed up because they forget that James was beheaded, that he was martyred for sake of the cause. Amen. In the book of Acts, right before Peter went to jail and escaped. Amen. But this James is the brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This James believed once Jesus was resurrected and he saw the empty tomb. Amen. He believed that this could not be anyone else but the Son of God and the doings of God. Amen. And sometimes it takes a little more for some of us than it do for most of us to believe that God is who he says he is and that God has the power that he says that he has. Come on and say amen. And so James says, now that I believe, I think I'm qualified now to be able to write a letter to the 12 tribes. Amen. He's writing to those that were scattered abroad, amen, those who had been scattered due to persecution, those who had been scattered due to difficulty where they lived in their communities, amen. They stretched out and they branched out because of the problems they encountered while they lived and professed to be Christians, amen. And so James says, I need to write to you. And so his letter was scattered abroad to all of those 12 that were scattered throughout the nations. Amen. And James, notice what he says when he opens up. He says, a servant of God. James did not even get on the fact that he knew Jesus so personal. Amen. That he might have slept in the same room with him. James does not talk about how that's my brother, but he says, now I understand my place and my position is to be a servant of God. Amen, amen. Some people, we got to understand, sometimes people get to the point to where they think they're next of kin to Jesus. Amen. And they don't think that they are just like anybody else. Amen. But then we see here that James said that the most important thing, even if you are next of kin to Jesus, the most important thing you can do is serve him. Amen. And how do we serve? We serve with a glad heart. Amen. A lot of times we come to church and we're not glad to be here. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 100, he says, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And sometimes we don't want to come before the presence of God with singing. Sometimes we don't want to serve him with gladness. Come on and say amen. Because of what we've gone through, because of the argument we had before we got here, because of what happened to us on last night while we was hanging out with our friends, we don't really want to serve God with gladness, because if that means serving somebody who we don't like, we won't do it. Come on and say amen. Sooner or later, I'll get to your street. Amen. And so James says, I'm a servant, he said, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, but I want to greet you and I want to let you know, first of all, in verse 2, look at this. He says, my brethren. Now, when you look at the word brethren, you find out that word really means those who are of the same womb, those who are born of the same way. Come on and say amen. And so what he's saying here is those of you who have been born of the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, that you must be what? Born again. Amen. Those who have been born again, those who have been born of water and been born of spirit, he said, I'm talking to you. Amen. So if you're born of water, born of spirit, he says this to you. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, what was James saying here? James says that we need to, first of all, count. That's the first thing you need to focus on. He says that you need to count. And what that means is with official authority, command and consider all these things to be joyous. Come on and say amen. Now, he said every one of your sufferings, whether it's sickness, whether it's dis-ease, something that dis-eases you, whether it's pains, problems, persecutions, consider it joy. Amen. Now, you know, that's kind of hard to consider it joy when you go through trials. It's hard to say that what you're going through is working for your good when it really is. Amen. We got to keep it in mind. And that's why he says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Now, we see here, we got to understand that there is a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness comes from what? Happenings, what happens around me or what happens to me. Amen. I won the lottery. Amen. Something that happened to me made me happy. Amen. Somebody just blessed me, helped me. That makes me happy. Amen. So happiness comes from happenings, but joy is not happiness. I wish I had somebody. Sometimes you can be sad in your spirit, but you can have joy from the Lord, because the Bible said the joy of the Lord will be your strength. I wish I had help today. We got to understand that joy comes from God. Happiness can come from things that happen around you or happen to you, but joy comes from the Lord. You ever seen people that say, well, I'm happy with this, but I just ain't satisfied? Really, they really telling you that I don't have any joy down in my spirit. I got plenty, but I don't have the joy of the Lord. That's why so many people can be rich, millionaires, multi-millionaires, and still not have the joy of the Lord. They can still pull a gun out and blow their brains out, having all the stuff that they would even think about in the world, and they'll still turn around and kill themselves. Come on and say amen. Why do they do that? Because they don't have the joy of the Lord to be their strength, their sustainer. Amen. We need to have the joy of the Lord. And when we get joy, when we understand what joy is, amen, when we understand that joy in the Greek is the word chara, amen, it's a strength that God gives you to be able to overcome, to be able to have the right attitude in spite of what you go through. Amen. I have joy. That's why they used to sing that song, after all that I've been through, I still have joy. And so when you still have joy through all of your trials, you say, I may not be happy with what I got, but I got joy because the Lord has given me a joy. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus tells us, he says that I want you to have my joy, that your joy may be full, that your joy may remain and that your joy may be full. So he's saying, I want you to have my joy so that you'll be overflowing with joy, so that you won't be moved by what you see. You won't be moved by what happened to you. You won't be moved by the persecution. You won't be moved by the problem, the circumstances. The pain may become excruciating, but you have joy to know that I'm confident that God will and that God can. Joy is like unto the three Hebrew boys that went into a fiery furnace, and they said, you know what? We're going, and we may be going into this furnace, and even if God doesn't do it, he's still able. That's when you have joy. Come on. The joy that I want you to understand is the kind of joy that Daniel had when he went into the lion's den. He said, you know what? I'm doing this because God, it's not because of what's happening to me. It's not because the king is throwing me into a lion's den that I'm sad. He said, but I got joy and I'll be all right. Amen. And so when the king came back to the mouth of the lion's den and the lions couldn't eat Daniel because of God. Amen. Then the king came and said, Daniel, are you okay? And Daniel responded, oh, king, live forever. He was able to do that because of the joy that he had on the inside of him. Amen. We need to understand what joy is about. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, he says, consider Jesus. He said, for the joy that was what? Set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. We have to get to a point and a place in our life where we know that we may be going through a cross experience, a crucifixion, if you will. And we still say, you know, after I come through this, I'll be all right. Amen. After I come through this, I'll be more powerful. I'll be more wise. Amen. I'll be better than I was before I went into this. Amen. That's what joy does for you. Joy gives you a confidence to know that God will make a way where it seemed to be no way. Joy will make you look past what's happening to you now and look to the future of what God has for you later. Joy will cause you to write a psalm like David did in Psalm 23 and say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. That's what joy does. I've been in a place which seemed like death, but I tell you what, I still have joy. Anybody got joy this morning? The thing about it, he said, we need to count it. We need to consider it. We need to say that it's joy. Everything that we go through, we need to say it's all right. Amen. Well, you know, the one thing that a many black people got, they got it right when something go wrong with them. You know, the first thing they say, oh, it's all good. That's a good thing to say. Amen. The brothers say it's all good. You know, they lose their house. They say it's all good, though. You know, they say those things, and you know what? It means a lot because that lets them know that this thing is not going to destroy me. This thing is not going to take me out. Amen. I can build from this. Amen. Even though I have to start over. Amen. I think I can make it with the help of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, when we look at this, he says, count it all joy. Consider it joy. And we understand there's difference between happiness and joy. But notice what he said. He said, count it all joy when. There's no doubt about you going through trials.
Somebody thought that because you came to Jesus as I was weary, worn, and sad, I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad that all my troubles are over. That's not the case. Whenever you come to him, things are going to begin to happen in your life that you are not going to like, because there's somebody that don't like you. You have the enemy of the devil and the enemy of the world that hates your guts. And so since you got two enemies that's attacking you, you need to know that there are some things that's going to happen that you're not going to like. He said, when you fall, when and not if. Amen. As a child of God, we're going to go through some things. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 7, he said, woe unto the world because of offense. He said, for it must needs be that offensive come. But he says, woe unto the man that bringeth the offense. Jesus even said that you're going to go through some stuff. Jesus said some stuff is going to happen in your life. And so when we think that nothing is going to happen in our life, we have fooled ourselves. We've lied to ourselves to think that because you're a Christian that you'll never get sick, to think that because you're a Christian that you'll never have to have somebody lie on you. Oh, come on. Because you're a Christian, you'll never have hard times. You'll only have good times. We should never think that as a Christian, because those things will overtake us if we're not looking and focusing on the joy that God gives us. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 23:31, he said, for if they do it in the green tree, what do you expect them to do in the dry tree? We need to understand that if they did it to him, they are going to do it to us. If the world hated him, the world is going to hate us. I wish I had help today. We got to understand that the world hates Jesus. The world hates the church that represents Jesus. And so how is it that we continue to try to befriend the world, and we try to befriend everything else and be tolerant of everything else, but when it comes to the world being tolerant of a Christian, they don't want to hear it? Oh, Lord, help me today. When and not if, when you go through temptations, when you experience evil things, that's what the word diverse temptation, it means when you experience evil. There are going to be many evil things that you will experience in your life. Many evil encounters that you're going to have come in your life. And when you have those encounters, you need to remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You need to remember that he'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. You need to remember that. Amen. You need to remember that it's not about you, and this battle is not yours, but it belongs to God. Amen. And you need to remember that if I can lift him up and praise him, no matter what I'm going through, I'll feel better. Oh yeah, if I can just get in a place of worship. Why do you think the enemy don't want you to praise God? He don't want you to acknowledge God. He don't want you to worship God, because he knows that if I can praise God, then God presence will be with me. He inhabits the praises of his people. And then when I start praising God, God says, I got to take care of this business, because I got to let them continue their praise. I don't want them to be disturbed while they're worshiping. So let me handle what's going on. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, the sickness you got, you can't come before God and stay sick. God said that I'll heal you. He said that he'll heal you with his blood. Amen. He said, by his stripes you are healed. Amen. The things that have stricken you, the pain that you feel, he said, I feel the same pain you feel. But when you come to me, I'll take away the pain. I wish I had help today. He says, when and not if. When you go through, when you fall into. And look, notice what he said, fall into. He didn't say walk into. Oh, come on and say amen. Many of us, we like to walk in the mess. We like to create a circumstance and a situation, and then we say, God, help us out. But God has said, when you fall into, in other words, as if there's a pit or a trap that's covered, and you're walking along the path that he's laid, but the devil has created a pit, and he's covered it up, and you fell in it. We need to know that that's what it means to fall into diverse temptation. The scripture says, a just man falleth seven times, but he what? Gets back up. And the reason why he gets up is because David lets us know how he gets up. David said, he picked me up out of the miry clay. I wish I had help today. That's why I'm standing in the pulpit, to pull you out of the pit. I'm trying to give you a word that'll help you and bring you from where you were to where God wants you to be. And so when we get this in our mind and understand that we're going to go through some temptation, some trials, amen, we need to know that these things are going to come upon us, but we don't need to fret. The Bible says in Psalm 27, be not afraid or don't fret because of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut down like the chaff. Amen? They'll be cast away. We need to know that there is a reward for them. Amen? Just like there's a reward for us being steadfast. We need to be steadfast and unmovable whenever we go through temptation. We need to have some joy, because joy won't let you move. Joy won't let you run away. Joy won't let you backslide. Joy makes you keep on keeping on, because the joy of the Lord will be your strength. I'm able to stand under adverse conditions. I'm able to stand when things don't go my way. When nobody agrees with me, I'll stand. Or when it's just me and God. The Bible tells us, the Bible says this. He says, so what if some don't believe? Does that make the word of God of none effect? I don't care if you don't believe with me, because God's word is true, and what God said will happen, no matter who believes it. If you don't believe what I'm preaching, it don't matter. Just hold on. You'll see God's hand move. Oh, Lord, help me today. You'll see God do what he said he would do. And so that's why I can with joy speak and say, if God be for us, then who can be against us? In other words, if God is on my side, everybody else might as well be, because we're going to win, because I'm going to fight to the end. I'm going to keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the higher calling. There is a joy in being patient. There's a joy in being patient. Yeah, he says that when you fall into diverse temptation, we need to know the Bible says that blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. You need to trust in God that things will be all right. Then he said that there is a crown given to the one who endures temptation. God has something for you if you can endure your temptation, if you can endure your trial, if you can go through it, then God will bless you when you come out of it. Amen? Oh, yeah, he didn't take you through that so that it can destroy you. Amen? Let's go on a little further. He says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He says, knowing this. Now, after he tells us to count, he tells us that we need to be confident. Amen. Knowing this. Amen. He says, knowing this. In other words, the purpose of our trials. We need to know the reason why we go through. There's a purpose for everything that you go through. God has a purpose. That's why the scripture in Romans 8 says that all things work together for the good of them who love God and to the called according to his purpose. There's a purpose for your trial. Boy, you didn't see it. You didn't think so, because how is it that God, I can benefit from what I'm going through? This seems to be bad, cruel. It seems to be something that does not make sense, but you need to be confident that there's a purpose for what you're going through. The purpose of your trial is not to punish you. I know a lot of people tell you that God's going to whoop you. I heard a guy on the radio this morning. He was saying, God going to get you. God going to whoop you. You know, God is not looking to whoop us all the time. He wants to correct us. Don't get me wrong. He wants to chasten us to get us back in the place that we're supposed to be so that we can be productive for him. But he's not, just like you would your child, you're not always looking to beat them. You look to correct them so that they will learn a life lesson. And so with God, if God is better than us, he's looking to teach us a lesson so we'll learn how to live the way that he wants us to live. Amen. And so our trial, the purpose of them are not for us to be punished by God, but our trials is to produce something. Our trials is to make us pure. Our trials are there to give us power, to make us patient. Amen. And so when we look at what our trials do for us, our trials give us more. We're worth more after the trial than we are before the trial. Well, you know, we got to understand that God lets even some of his best go through some things. Peter went through some stuff. Paul went through some stuff. Paul even said that I sought the Lord 3 times that he might take away this thorn in the flesh. In other words, this thing was aggravating me. This thing got on my last nerve. This thing was eating me up, and I prayed to God and he didn't move it. Come on. Have you ever been there? Have you ever said, I prayed about it, but it looked like it didn't get no better. I started praying about it, looked like it got worse and worse. Oh, come on. But that is a blessing in the thorn, amen? We need to realize what Paul said. He said that finally God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect where you're weak. And so Paul got up and said, I still got joy. Oh, yeah, even though the messenger of Satan was sent to beat on me, I still have the joy of the Lord. Even though the messenger of Satan was sent to try to take me out, I still feel the strength of God, even though I got a thorn in my flesh. You know how it is. You've been going through a long time. You've been dealing with stuff a long time, but you still say, you know what? I'm still going to press on. I'm still going to praise God. I'm still praying. I'm still, come on and say amen. I'm still worshiping. I'm still reading his word. I'm still sharing the word. I'm still preaching the word, and I'm sick. I'm still praying for people that's sick, and I'm sick. I wish I had help. Oh, yeah, I got trouble in my life, but that doesn't stop me from doing what God wants me to do, because I'm not going on myself. I'm not going on what I think. I'm going on what I know, knowing this, that the trying of my faith, that I got to go through some stuff. God puts me in the testing mode. He puts me in the trial mode. And you know, one thing I learned about God is that when I go through my testing, you know, he teaches me all this. He instructs me. He teaches me. But then when I go through my test, and every good teacher knows that the teacher never talks during testing. Oh, come on and say amen. You say you don't hear nothing from God while you're going, I just can't hear nothing. I don't know. I don't feel like God is hearing my prayer. Well, it's because he don't have to talk while he's testing you. It's up to you to put in place the things that he's taught you up until the test. You're wondering why you're going through stuff with people. God has been testing you, and he said for you to turn the other cheek. But instead of that, you've been telling everybody how bad they've been to you so you can get some allies that'll go against them. But I don't need any other allies, because I have God on my side. And so since God is testing me, I might as well keep turning this other cheek. I might as well pray for them that despitefully use me. Oh, yeah, I may as well give my enemy bread when he's hungry and water when he's thirsty. That's why you're going through stuff with people. I heard somebody say, Lord, just give me patience. Pray for me that the Lord give me patience. I said, Lord, take them through some trials. Oh, wait, I don't want no trials. I didn't ask for that. I said, you asked for patience. Well, the scripture says this. He says that knowing this, that the trying of your patience, of your faith, worketh patience. Amen? And so when we are tried in our faith, it will bring about something that we need. It'll bring about patience. Amen? And so we need to understand that this thing, the things that we go through, the trials, are not there to destroy us, but it's there to give us patience. The word patience is the word hupomone in the Greek, which means to give us steadfastness. It means to give us perseverance. That word means to overcome obstacles along the way. And along the way, you're going to go through some stuff. Along the way, you're going to have some hardships and heartaches and some pain, some heavy loads and all of this stuff. But look at this. It also means endurance. How many of us can endure hardness as a good soldier? How many of us can go through today and look like one thing after the next? We feel like Job. As soon as one person calls with bad news, look like I got some more bad news and some more bad news. And on top of the bad news, I got sick in the midst of getting the bad news. Oh, come on and say amen. But Job did not sin with his lips, but he said, he shaved his head and got down on the ground and worshiped the Lord. And he said, the Lord give it, the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do I have anybody in here? Well, y'all quiet, but that's okay. Keep being quiet. I got something for you. He says, look, this word patience not only means endurance, but it means constancy. It means to continue or continuance. What God brings these trials of your faith for is so that you will learn how to continue through your trials, so that you'll learn how to endure through your trials, so that you will be constant in prayer, in praise, and worship through your trials. Amen? And look, these things do not come to defeat us. These things do not come to destroy us. These things do not come to discourage us, but these things come to disciple us. Let me say it one more time. These things don't come to defeat us. These things don't come to destroy us. These things don't come to discourage us. But these things come to disciple us. In other words, these things come to make us what God wants us to be. We can't do it on our own. You know that you wouldn't get on the cross by yourself. You know you wouldn't take yourself through a crucifixion. You know that you wouldn't correct yourself, because every man think he's right in his own heart. And so God sends trials. He sends people to take you through tests, to take you through all kind of persecution, so that you would be a disciple, so that you would grow, so that you can learn who he is. How would you know that he is Jehovah Jireh if you never had need of anything?